Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the next talk. It's called Cybernetic Cannibalism, and I'm very happy that so many people are here to listen to the talk, because it's one of the few talks we have here at the CCC, at the 26C3, that are not Eurocentric. We're talking about Brazil here and why Brazil is the country of the future, and that's the first thing. And the second thing is, it's a talk that actually deals with literature, and literature history, because it's based on the Cannibalist Manifesto from 1928, and a Brazilian poet wrote the Cannibalist Manifesto in 1928. And you might think, why are we here? Why are we talking about that? What does it tell us about our lives? So the Cannibalist Manifesto from 1928, and why it directly relates to file sharing and many, many ongoing discussions of the present day. I'm very looking forward to hearing it. A big applause for Elena and for Cristiano. Big applause.
It's a very, very nice opportunity to be here. My name is Elena. I'm from State University of Rio. I'm a researcher. I am in my first year of research. So it's very difficult to explain my research in Portuguese. Can you imagine in English? So I'm going to speak really slow so can I would be clear and you could understand what I'm saying. And I like to thank the CCC Congress for this opportunity, and especially Julia and Alexander. So, we are independent researchers, but we have many, many points in common. And for this Congress, we are talking about eating people, eating culture. So let's start with a verse from the poet Oswald de Andrade. I asked a man what law was. He answered me that was the guarantee to exercise the possible. This man's name was Galim Matias. I ate him. I'm only interested in what is not mine. Law of man, law of the cannibal. That's from Oswald de Andrade. He's a poet from the vanguard in the 20s, last century. So I recalled this verse during a movie that I watched in the Brazilian Movie Festival in Rio de Janeiro. The name of the movie is Hip, A Remix Manifesto. And Andrade was one of the organizers of the Modern Art Week. It's a landmark of the modernist movement in Brazil. There are many artists at that time, and they are very in syntony with the avant-garde of Europe, like Cubism and Surrealism. They all were in the same frequency. So these are some of the artists, like painters and writers and poets and musicians. They all came together at that time. So just after the modern week, the modernist week in Brazil, Oswald de Andrade, he wrote his first manifesto, and the name is Manifesto of Pau Brasil. He provoked all the people saying that we have to celebrate our native culture, the language without archaism, without erudition, a millionaire contribution of all mistakes, the way we speak, the way we are. So what they propose is to celebrate the primitivism. But in the same time, the modern week the modern art week in Brazil, they desire the future. They desire the progress, the technology, but at the same time, the celebration of the primitivism, the native language. So this is just for curiosity. The name of the Manifesto Pau Brasil, it's the name of a native wood from Brazil that attract the Portuguese, the colonizer. So this is the map all you see the Indians and the Pau Brasil, because Brazil was an exploration colony, right? So what he proposed is to see with free eyes. The Pau Brasil poem offers a new perspective characterized by the return to poor sense, where the universal is contained in the regional, to be regional and poor in its own time. So it's kind of global way of thinking. And connecting to Brett Gaylor movie, Hip, a Remix Manifesto, the Modern Art Week, what they did is to stop any kind of cult of the past. So in this point, they connect to the four point of view of Brett Gaylor, which is to build free society, you must limit the control of the past. So somehow, Brett Gaylor today and the Modern Art Week in the 20s, they have some intersection.
I heard a story before.
Wait a minute. So I'm going to show you just a piece of the movie, where is the Anthropophagy Manifesto, because it's already translated, and I think it's much easier for you. It's just a piece.
I heard a story before I came to Rio, that when the first Portuguese bishop arrived in Brazil, the natives were so impressed by the word of God that they ate the bishop in order to digest the power of the Catholic Church.
Perguntei ao homem o que era o direito. Ele me respondeu que era a garantia do exercício da possibilidade. Comia. Só a antropofagia nos une, socialmente, economicamente, filosoficamente. Da Revolução Francesa ao Romantismo, à Revolução Bolchevista, à Revolução Surrealista, caminhamos.
So he was talking about a bishop, which is Bishop Sardinha. He was eaten by the native Indians in Brazil. And there is a guy, there's a German guy called Hans Staden, that he went to Brazil. He was an adventurer, and he went to Brazil. And because he was German, they didn't eat him. Because the point is, the native, they eat the foreigners to incorporate the quality of the others. Really? So they became more powerful. And because the Portuguese were the colonizer, they were the most powerful ones. So the Germans, it's like bad flesh. I don't need the Germans. So he saw many of these ritual things and came to German again. And one guy, he designed all the rituals. And if it's not clear, anthropophagy, anthropo from man, and phagian from eat. But the common sense is cannibalism. And I didn't find a translation. I had a fight with my translation because I wanted to keep the anthropophagy. So I tried to keep the, because of the concept. Because cannibalist is very common sense, and it's very conceptual, the word anthropophagy. So these are the pictures of Hans Staden. Here's Hans Staden over there, like completely crazy. And this guy, he designed and all the paintings. What Andrade did, of course, this is a metaphor. I'm not saying that we should kill and eat people. But what he's saying is that he took this practice of the Indians, the native Indians, to explain the Brazilian society in a metaphorical way. So it's a metaphor, of course. And so then he wrote this manifesto. The manifesto was published in the Revista Antropofágica, which is Anthropophagy magazine. And what he proposed is The anthropophagy, it's like a critical way to digest the other. So it's a creative way to incorporate what you admire in the other. Let me show you the magazine. So the thing is, anthropophagy united us socially, economically, philosophically. So he's saying that Brazil has some kind of vocation to cannibalize other cultures, to incorporate what they admire in other cultures. And this is the magazine, it's very old. And there is a verse inside of the manifesto that it's very specific that says, to pee or not to pee, that is the question. Like referring to Shakespeare's sentences. And to pee is the name of a native, Indian native in Brazil. And the word to pee have the same phonetics of to be. So what he's saying is, to be native or not to be native, to be in the middle, how we can do it, to create a hybrid culture. So there is a guy, there is an Italian guy, anthropologist, that he was studying the vanguard, the avant-garde in Brazil. And his point of view, his name is Massimo Canevati, he's Italian. And his point of view of the movement, anthropophagy movement, was this wasn't a savage or a symbolic hunger for a human flesh, but rather a guided, sensitive, and delicate appetite tending to choose tasted part of the body, to digest the other in a creative way, and not an indifferent, indigestible guzzling. But Brazil, it's doing this since it was discovered. It was discovered by the Portuguese in the 1500s, and so for 500 years, we are doing this process of digest the other, because Brazil, it's made by immigration, it's made by diaspora, so there's a lot of Germans in Brazil, there's a lot of everything, you know, Brazil has a little bit of everything, and we mix it up, all of the influence of the world. So this guy, Massimo Canevati, he says, diaspora is the mother of the syncretism. And that's another semantic problem that I have. And it's very symptomatic, I think, because the word syncretism, there is no translation for, it's very, very recent, because the syncretism is exactly the melting point. It's where all cultures, they just mix it up in a mashup. It's almost like a mashup. And this guy, this anthropologist, he said, the syncretism is a proposal of a new hybrid anthropology, such as the use of innovative narrative models, such as the exploration of the co-presence of multiple language, such as a creative proportional conflict at the level of new transcommunicative environment. So what he's saying that syncretism is creating a different kind of world vision, an hybrid kind of to look to the world and to the story, to tell the story, you know? And in this point, we connect to Oswald de Andrade, the poet from the Manifesto Antropofágico. But what he's saying is that there is a verse that says, script, 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 the Caraíba instant. So the Caraíba instant is this vocation from the Brazilians to mash up and create different views of the world that can coexist together in addition, not only in conflict. So that's why script can be, from Oswald de Andrade, can be narrative, an hybrid narrative from Massimo Canevati. And then when I was in my research, I saw many intersections, many connections with other authors, like Lawrence Lessig, for example. He explained the remix culture as a read-write culture, where people participate in the creation and the recreation of their culture. In that sense, it's read-write. So the Caraíba instant, it's almost all the time like doing a mashup and participating and doing an interpretation, a recreation, and digesting different kinds and different points of view. So in that point, it's together again, script, 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 the Caraíba instant, or read, write, the remix culture. So what we could say is that digital anthropophagy is the cultural syncretism using Canevati or the remix culture, thinking like Lessig, in the digital age. Of course, in the digital age, with the technology potentializes the Caraíba instant, this vocation to mash up, to enjoy the mashup, and you see this potentializing, this process has been potentialized.
Bossa nova, seja do axé, seja da música baiana, e seja do funk, que é a atual música eletrônica brasileira, ela também é espelho da cultura desenvolvida no Brasil de mistura. O que, que é a novidade? É exatamente você misturar essas coisas que foram feitas. Isso é o futuro da música e da raça humana, cada vez mais.
So, that's time for Cristiano.
Okay. Oh. Hello, everybody. Hi. As Elena, I am taking my master's in communication at the University of State of Rio. And I am in the second year. And my research is about funky carioca, that is this electronic music genre from Brazil. It's from Rio. I'm talking about the cannibal aesthetics of carioca funk, which means I'm going to take the carioca funk as an example, a contemporary example what Elena is talking. For you to understand the carioca funk, how can I put this? The funk carioca born like in the mid-70s with big balls and big parties in the suburbs in Rio. And at the end of the 80s, people went, and at that time, people were still playing real funk and soul tracks like James Brown and Earth, Wind and Fire and funkadelic tracks. But from the end of the 80s, the DJs starts to travel to Miami and they start to listen to that Miami sound at that stage. And an anthropologist called Hermano Viana is the guy who made the first studies about those parties in Rio. And since the beginnings, those parties are parties of the people from the suburbs in Rio. But I have to explain that because the concept of the suburb in Brazil is different from Europe and the US. Suburb is the peripheric area, so it's the area for the of the poor people. So these funk carioca balls are the song of the song, the sound of the people, the poor people in Rio. So Hermano Viana wanted to transform an image, because funk, since the beginning, is seen by the media as poor music, cheesy music, non-music, non-culture, trash culture, culture of the poor. Ah, this is not music, this is funk carioca. And Hermano Viana intended to transform this image. He went to some balls, and with Malboro, the DJ that spoke, in the beginning of his career, he went to several balls, and he make an ethnographic work explaining what kind of people went there, what kind of sound people listen, and how was the real Carioca funk? Because Carioca funk is always connected to violence, to dirty songs. The authorities, since the 1989, tried to shut up the funk Carioca, because it's a thing that's supposed not to exist, but is the most popular musical genre in Rio. So, Hermano Viano puts in his first work this statement, that the funk ball is quite a rich example of how cultural elements from various sources, authentic or not, can combine in unusual ways. And this thing is important because since that is not music, that is not culture, people have had a great liberty, a great freedom to do what they wanted to do. We can imagine Carioca funk like a musical genre and a cultural movement, and it worked like a kind of urban chronicle, always intrusive, forbidden, pirate, popular, polemical, many times associated with violence, dirty lyrics, drug traffic, poor music, and it's almost everywhere. Today, if you go to, it don't matter if you are rich or poor, it don't matter where you are, funk music is probably going to be playing in their party. So soccer fans, you are passing, okay. Soccer fans like to sing to provoke the other teams with Carioca funk chants. Even the samba schools that are traditional music in Rio are incorporating the funk with the drum patterns. And the themes for the songs could be everything. This is the some pictures of baile funk, some funk balls. Okay, and communication research called Simone Sá. She was the first researcher to put Carioca funk as a electronic music genre. To us now, it could be like obvious, but the roots, the musical roots of Carioca funk, it's quite like a hip hop thing. So in Brazil, since everybody understand the lyrics, people usually don't consider Carioca funk as electronic music, pure electronic music, but as hip hop. But if you I'm gonna show you some examples, you're gonna see that this is the family tree, musical family tree. To understand Carioca funk, the center point is this track, Africa Bambaataa and the Soul Sonic Force Planet Rock, which is one of the first songs recorded in the world with a sample based, with a bass only made only by samples. So what Bambaataa did, he took one Kraftwerk sample from Trans Europe Express, and he added with another sample of Kraftwerk numbers, and put some rap vocals above, and he made Planet Rock. That make some great influence with many kinds of electronic genres in the world. But to us, the interest us is the electro funk itself, the Miami bass sound, the rap sound of Miami, and that we call in Brazil funky melodic. It's like a pop version of these two. So these three make influence in Carioca funk. First, at the end of the 80s, as I said, the DJs started to stop to play that old tracks of James Brown and stuff, and began to play tracks only of this genre. So, thank you. This is Trans Europe Express. They add two numbers, the drum pattern, and this drum pattern is like the master guide of the beginning of Carioca funk. many songs were recorded with drum patterns quite like this one. So, Planet Rock with those two sounds together. And these are some examples of electric funk track. Freestyle, so the sound is robotic, quite like the Planet Rock and Kraftwerk. This is a typical Miami bass track. You see the drum pattern is the same. Practically the same. And this is what the first Marlboro recorded with some help with Hermano Viana. This is the first Brazilian funk carioca record. So what Marlboro... Yeah. What Marlboro did, like the Cannibals, he took the drum patterns and some international melodies and copied that and put some Portuguese lyrics.
Appropriation, right?
Yeah, he appropriates that. Mm-hmm. So let me see. The first basic carioca funk structure, music structure, it was international melodies and drum beats. Plus some carioca rap vocals in Portuguese, or some Brazilian audio samples. So this is some examples how we cannibalize the electro funk sound. This is Gucci Crew. Pay attention to the vocal melody. Sally, that girl, so we bailed out her house just to get something to eat. Now it's MC Batata. The same song. Bebo, cachaça. Okay, another. This is that funky melody sound that I said. Pop version of that. Okay. So put them on. This is MC's Dani Tafarel, the same track again. This was a TV show from the biggest sound system in Rio called Furacão 2000. It's called and this is some examples of how we began to transform the genre. This is the same drum patterns with some capoeira audio samples above. This is another example is a track with some samples of the Dire Straits, your latest street song. This is one of the main drum beats that everyone in Rio recorded tracks. It is the Voltimix. You see, the rappers took this drum pattern and everybody sings above him. So this is Cidinho Doca, Rap das Armas, the same drum pattern. Yeah, volta um pouquinho e muta. Yes, yeah, okay. So the second process of cannibalization is this robotic drum pattern from Planet Rock. A guy called Luciano Oliveira creates a Brazilian drum pattern that he calls tamborzão. Like the tambor is a instrument of percussion. So not more robotic sounds. From this point, Luciano creates a real Brazilian drum pattern that sounds like the capoeira rituals and the Afro religion Brazilian rituals. So now you. It's the same BPM, but the pattern is completely different. And Funk Karaoke today mixed both kinds of drum patterns. Eu ia te falar para deixar um pouquinho, mas agora já era.
É que tá passando rápido o tempo.
Ok. So, from with the internet and the digital technologies, we have the numbers of the home studios and producers began to grow, and it was very easy to produce a funk carioca track. So, Silvio Essinger is a journalist that made probably the most complete history of a book of funky history, funk carioca history, and he said that democratization of information technology helped funk a lot. With a simple computer, anyone could become a producer, and people only need like a sound forge to cut and modify the sounds, and an acid to paste and to transform the sounds. The result is the musical possibilities of funk carioca became infinite, limitless. So today, my point of my research, I'm researching some DJs that create blogs that they share some specific kind of files, like audio edition softwares and the installers of them, completely pirate, some drum beats made of their own, of their friends or their other DJs, some tracks and what they call points. What is the points? Points, the point in Portuguese is ponto, is the name of a capoeira and an Afro-religion like candomblé and umbanda. It's a sound meant to be repeated like a mantra to evoke spirits or to make some kind of
supernatural contact.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the points is nothing but a loop. So what these guys are doing, they are sharing a database of loops, not only tracks. So this is a this vault, yeah. Agora. This is what they call tarantella. So they sample the tarantella and they separate each piece of that like this or this. So you have a database with files, with pack of samples, like with one tempo, two tempos, or 16 tempos. So everyone can produce a track. Oh, this is another one. So now I'm going to put some an example of Sunny Pitbull. And it's an important thing to say is the producers like to use an Akai MPC drum machine. So they use these points and each button to construct their track. So this is Sunny Pitbull. What these guys are doing actually, they are sharing vocabularies, not only closed tracks. So if you don't know any karaoke funk track, you can go to these blogs and you can download all this database of samples. You can do your own track. So this process illustrates which Lev Manovich calls collaborative remixability. Manovich believes that the role of the receiver in communication process becomes a temporary station, which is we are cannibals every time, because we ate or we sample, then we remix, then we upload our inventions and our creations, and the process continues. So information arrives, is transformed, mixed with another data, and prior information, the results of this combination is retransmitted to the network and to the process of feedback. So what I'm saying is, when a Carioca funk producer begins to share open tracks and their respective constituent parts, he's sharing infinite possibles of a new way to write. So like the scripts is rewrite culture. And the curious thing is, there's no claim of authorship or intellectual ownership of any kind. So to them, there's no copyright and there's no copyleft either. So it's the real punk spirit to do it yourself. For them, if you want to copy, okay, copy. It's yours. It's not mine. And it turns to a question that who wants what? So the other things, important things to say is the market of funk doesn't have any kind of big record company or like a institution of that centralized. It's all decentralized. The guy go to a ball and he sing his track above a drum pattern. People record it and people burn some CDs and sell those CDs. But the guy who is singing doesn't get any kind of money with that. The money come from his performances. So, okay. Okay, yeah. Sorry. And it's a completely independent market. And sometimes we have a Warner or EMI, we have one guy on their staff that is a funk Carioca guy, but the 90% of the guys, they don't have any contracts or anything like that. And in 2008, Getúlio Vargas Foundation, that is a foundation that makes some economics and social political studies in Rio, in Brazil, made a research that tries to observe the socioeconomic and cultural impacts on the agents involved in the production of funk. They interview DJs, MCs, owners of sound systems, producers, researchers, and what they realized, they concluded that Carioca funk moves over 3 million euros a month in the state of Rio, completely independent, with DJs earning around $1,000 for a month. So it's an independent market, completely independent market. And Hermano Viana, the guy who made the first study and helped Marlboro create the Carioca funk sound, says that this entire market has been created in the last two decades without any help from the culture industry establishment. I know no other example of such clear market upset in the contemporary pop culture. He said that funk now has clear numbers which show that it is an important economic activity and as such must be taken seriously by the authorities. So I'm gonna deliver the...
Aí, otário!
What? Okay. This is a point that synthesizes our thinking, that a guy recorded screaming this sentence. No, you can't put
it. Aí, otário! Aproveita! Agora! Copia! Copia! Pra você! Aperta o rec e grava! Copia! Porque quanto mais você copia, a gente cria!
Okay, this is the translation, so I'm gonna take it back to Elena's.
To finish.
So, okay.
So, funk is just one example of the cultural syncretism and the mashup culture that eu vou ler daqui.
Okay.
That is going on in Brazil since it was discovered. There are many other examples, like free software in Brazil, like Tecnobrega in Brazil, many, many of them in the religion, in culture, and everything. And what Massimo Canevati thinks is that this process that is very particular to Brazil is the gift that Brazil can give to the world, in spite, of course, of all our problems, in a world that which is globalized and localized at the same time. And I do believe that a gift always came with a big responsibility. And so this kind of process, this diverse, cultural diverse of Brazil, it's now the strategy of the government for to develop the government. So the focus of my research is the public policies in the culture era of Brazil, and this is the logo of the Minister of Culture, which is a country for all. Everybody is welcome, and everybody, Brazil is a country for everybody. And now we have start a process of planning the national plan, the national policies for culture, and the state is doing that together with the citizens in the sharing process of everybody is participating to the plan. And the plan is going to give the guidelines to 10 years. So what they want with this plan is to empower the capacity of the Brazilian people to carry out long-term action that exalt our diversity. This will ensure in an efficient and long-lasting manner that the state is responsible for formulating and implementing policies to universalize the access to cultural production and fruition, thus helping to overcome the country inequality. So to celebrate our diversity and to give tools and resources to people to do it too, it's going to help people and it's going to help Brazil to develop. And the plan brings also the manifesto, the Anthropophagy Manifesto, saying that the cannibalism, our vocation to cannibalize the other, it's a particular capacity of reinterpretation, read, write, of symbols and cultural codes of varied contexts. Unlike other societies of the world, we Brazilians have to our favor a rich capacity of welcome and transform what initially is from someone else. So, and they say, it's Brazilians and Latin cultures, they are very, they like to extend a lot, they write a lot, you know, and there is a point in this plan that says that Brazil creates and energizes its culture in spite of the omission or authoritarian interference of the state or of a specific market logic. It's not up to government or companies to conduct the production of culture. And I, in my critical view, I think there is a contradiction because I just said that the government should give the opportunities and give the access to people. So the government is controlling and not controlling. So it's very contradictional. And talking about the digital culture, they say to extend the digital media to permit the expression and the access to culture and knowledge. And now, so the state should guarantee full and universal access to new opportunity created by technology. So this is the site, the Brazilian, the Cultural Digital Forum. And we are doing together the civils, the citizens, and the municipal instance, the state instance, the federal instance, the market, everybody. You can go into this community and participate into the creation of public policies. And this kind of doing policies, sharing construction, was implemented by a guy whose name is Gilberto Gil. He's one of the Tropicália movement, which is also a second step of the Anthropophagy movement in Brazil, but that's another story. And this is the guy. And he used to be the Minister of Culture. He's a very huge artist in Brazil. He's now in his 60 years old, maybe. And he now his assistant is the minister because he came back to the show business. And that's what he understands about digital culture. It is with optimism and joy that should create the initiative and the experience of digital inclusion and free software, as well as the debate about the digital culture and copyright issues. The political culture changed the form and the content, the digital culture, sorry, changed the form and the content of the cultural policies and transformed the Minister of Culture in the Minister of Freedom, of Creation, of the Daring, the Minister of the Contemporary, of the Digital Culture and Creative Industry. That's our ex-minister of Brazil. This is the guy. And he said, I, Gilberto Gil, Brazilian citizen and citizen of the world, Minister of the Culture of Brazil, work in the show business, in the minister, and all dimensions of my existence under the inspiration of the hacker ethics. So he considered himself a hacker. I am a hacker in spirit and will. So that's very curious, you know. So let this, all this research led me to many questions, and I have 1 year to answer that. I am in my first master course, my first year of master course, and some of them, it's here. They are here. Why is the appreciation of Brazil cultural diversity vital for the development of Brazil? Is there any aspect of Brazilian culture that creates a good position for Brazil in the copyright debate? What innovation emerged from the anthropophagic practice in the context of digital culture? What there is in common between anthropophagic philosophy and the hacker ethics? Can Brazil anthropophagy be considered a new vision of the world? So, especially this hacker ethics, I think I am in the best place to understand the hacker ethics. And I hope during this year, I will answer all these questions and come back here and give it to you. Thank you very much.
No, it's working. Okay, I don't understand the on-off thing. Okay.
Have you tried turning it off and on again? apart from the cultural irks that Brazil has, are there some special legal frameworks encouraging culture like this that we should consider?
There is a institution, the Copyleft Institution, is in Brazil also, in Fundação Getúlio Vargas. And part of the plan, of the digital plan, of the cultural plan of Brazil, embrace the problems of authorship and everything. And they are trying to permit the remix, because it's actually going on. I mean, Brazilians have this capacity to not obey the law. But of course, now you have to regulate everything, but it's not done already. You have to pay attention in the next years.
Yeah, just want to thank you. The connection to cannibalism I found very inspiring. I don't know if you know the thing with the worms. There is this was done this experience with some warm creatures, whatever, and they made them, they gave them electroshocks, and so they, and combined this with this light, so like conditional, conditionierung in Deutsch, I don't know, and well, they killed these worms and feed this to other worms, and they copied the behavior. When the light turns on, they shrugged together. And I think a very interesting aspect is also that maybe we can transform the process of cannibalism to something kind of non-violent. I mean, we have computers, we have our genomes, we could just with when we have sequenced them, we could put on the internet and everyone could remix them. This would is interesting, but also we could maybe someday analyze our brains and this uploading the mind thing. When you think about this, and then your body becomes only the substrate, and so it's no longer. I mean, then it's just flesh, and you can. The old also the cruelty-free meat thing. That they can produce meat from genetics without murdering animals. They'll just let the organs grow, and yeah, this is some. This kind of fits together somehow, I think.
Okay.
I have a question. Is this mix-up culture in Brazil? Is it is this the political consensus, or are there opponents to this, especially in debating about the copyright laws? Are the copyright laws compatible to this culture, or has it to be changed?
Could you speak a little bit slowly, because you speak really fast?
Okay. The question is this mashup culture the consensus in Brazil, or are there political opponents to it?
Ah, yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, no. We have a debate of copyleft and copyright in Brazil. We have copyright laws in Brazil. So we gave this example of funk because... as I said, funk is to the media and to the authorities trash culture. So they don't care if they are sample things, if they are not respecting copyright laws. So, yeah, we have a debate of copyright in Brazil and copyleft also, but this exists independently.
No, but there is many politicals. They just did a law. They tried to vote for a law that would territorialized the internet, what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And Lula, which is the president, he didn't let the law happen. He said, internet is a free territory. So the president just cut the voting.
I just remember we have an institution in Brazil called ECAD. ECAD. It's like a direitos autorais.
Authorship. Copyright.
Copyright, like a copyright office. That what it made. Everywhere who has some kind of music playing for people, or which is cinemas, hotels, restaurants, place where you can have a concert or thing. A guy of ECAD always going to collect some money because sometimes people play songs of another people. So we have some kind of
But it's like for amostrage. It's not literally. So.
And the curious thing is, they collect the money, but not, the artists not get their money always. So, where does money go? So.
I was surprised to hear your side of the. Such a positive telling about the experience of free software in Brazil, because well, I don't want to play the radical, but all the friends I have that work in free software in Brazil are totally upset with how this thing has been handled by the government of Lula and by Gilberto Gil especially. And I would like to know if you have any, if you would like to go through how was handled the situation with the Pontos de Cultura or the people from Studio Libre that will have been really upset if they would have heard this talk. And what do you think about that?
This connection are going to be made probably in the next year. You see, those Carioca funk producers are organizing their first association called APA Funk, Association of Producers of Funk Carioca. So this meeting with the guys with the Studio Livre probably gonna happen sometime in the next year or the next years. Because as I said, Carioca funk producers are it's another world, completely world, you know. The guys from the Studio Livre controls or had access to some more sophisticated technology. So as I said, people to produce funk karaoke tracks use SoundForge and Acid. So simple, but people are getting together probably.
No, and there's always two sides of the story, of course. And there is point of culture everywhere in Brazil, and it is in the middle of the jungle, and it is in the favela also. But Brazil, it's a very fresh country. We are developing, and we are like teenagers, right? Comparing to Europe, for example. And this plan, it's not done yet still. It's going to be, there is a conference going to happen in March to decide the guidelines. And point of the culture, for example, it's one, just one of the programs of the Minister of Culture. And I know very good point of culture and very bad point of culture. And point of culture, it's a local, very local. So it depends a lot from the people that runs the point of culture, not only the government.
And Sunny Pitbull now it's beginning to develop some encounters with the government of Rio and states of Rio to create some kinds of programs to help people to start to produce. So as you asked, I think this connection will be made.
It's doing a lot of Creative Commons publishing also in the music. Benegão, no?
Benegão, yes.
Mm-hmm. But it's more about how a lot of money was wasted during several years in this Pontos de Cultura.
No, there's a lot of corruption.
The people was handling a lot of responsibility and couldn't see the at all in how the budget has been deployed or was organized, and how at the end a lot of money got wasted and a lot of experiences were really frustrated. Though it's true that lots of software was produced and a lot of people started editing video or making productions, and there's really nice archives. But it's, I was surprised to hear such like a positive and so like out of the street experience. That was the first relationship between the high politics and the hackers, whatever ethic.
I've got a question. I know that the current minister of cultural minister Gilberto Gil resigned. Because of he wants to protect his voice or something like that, and I wonder, does it going to have any effects of the current development in Brazil of the governmental programs? What do you think?
Yeah, actually, the national plan of culture is being developed is meant to be a law. So the next government, the next president must follow that. So these effects we are going only to see like in the next, with the next president, or 5 or 10 years, probably. I think 5 years, because this is still being developed. So it's not
there's we have a problem with Brazil, a lot of corruption in the politician and the government. So this plan is trying to create guidelines to 10 years, so the next government couldn't just don't do it, you know? So that's one of the solution that we tried, because yeah, we do have a lot of corruption and many, many things just going away, the money and everything. But I believe, I really believe that there are a lot of things going on, and the most important is that the people participate, the people are participating, because of the, we have like 30 years of dictatorship. So we couldn't do anything, we couldn't just say nothing. And now, like in the, only in the 90s, we have the first election after a long time ago, a long period of time. So now we start to be like civil, like citizens, you know, like being
to
participating.
Exercise our citizenship.
And of course, there's many things to grow, you know. But I think we got the direction. And Gilberto Gil, he resigned because he decided to go back to the... He stayed for two periods of Lula president. And he decided,
1.5, actually.
Yeah, he decided to resign in the second period to go again to the public, to the show business, and stayed his vice, his assistant. But it's the same, he just doing the same direction.
Okay. Okay, thanks a lot.
So, one final question.
Hey there. I heard the talk about the WikiLeaks yesterday, who are planning to construct an offshore data center in Iceland, and they're talking to the government there. And I think you should definitely talk to these people, because I think you have very much in common regarding the law construct in Iceland and in Brazil as much as how to change the laws that file sharing and such isn't a crime anymore.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you, people. No, it was a pleasure to be here. So, do you want to say anything? So we like porn also, so. No, great.
Okay. So, thanks a lot. A big applause to our speakers from Brazil. Thanks a lot, and hope...